Okay, there is an odd medrash at the beginning of the parsha. The Yikhli Truma, says the medrash, Mikan Shekidushei Chacham Havi Kiddushin. You see from here that a Chacham can affect a Kiddushin, can be Mekadish Nisha. That is odd. What in the world does that mean, that Kiddushei Chacham Havi Kiddushin? Of course a Chacham can have Kiddushin. In fact, there are many people who are not Chachamim and also have Kiddushin. Look around, you'll see that there are people that are married that are not Chachamim. So what exactly is the Chiddush that Kiddushei Chacham Havi Kiddushin? What in the world does that have to do with V'yichuli Truma? Furthermore, what does it mean that the whole idea of building a Mishkan, which is what the last several parshios of Sefer Shemos are really all about, is a very interesting concept. The idea that people would want to build a temple, a church, or something, a place, you know, that could be some symbol of something, I understand. People need physical symbols to connect to. But we're really building a house of God, meaning a house for Hashem. And that idea, the idea that you're going to build a physical home for that which is he who is not at all physical, is a difficult concept to really grasp. The Medrash tells us that Moshe Rabbeinu was confused by this command, and because we say in Ani Mamin, Ani Mamin b'Emunah Shleima, Shabari Yisbarach Shemo Eino Guf v'lo yasiguhu masigei haguf v'ein lo shum dimyon klal. He is not physical. This is one of the Ikarei Emunah. So how do you build a house for somebody like that, especially when you consider that your average family from the five towns would find it impossible to live in a house the size of the Mishkan. You know, like, how's a person supposed to live like that? And we're expecting HaKadosh Baruch Hu to live like that. Once there was, I heard from Rabbi Rudzinski that an elementary school in Muncie had a Parsha sheet on Parshas Yisro where they had an illustration of Moshe Rabbeinu coming down from Har Sinai with the Luchos. And somebody raised an objection that, you know, what's the picture of Moshe Rabbeinu always look like? You know, it looks like some guy with long flowing white locks, and you know, like it looks a little ridiculous. So someone said, yeah, you're going to show a picture of Moshe Rabbeinu like that? So they said, you know, we'll go to Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky. Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, at the end of his life, lived in Muncie. So they said, we'll go to Rabbi Yaakov and see what he thinks. So Rabbi Yaakov looked at the picture. He saw Moshe Rabbeinu with the long flowing locks, and he said, okay, that's fine. He doesn't see a problem with it. But then he pointed to the picture of the cloud above the mountain, and he said, you need to remove that. That doesn't belong. That can't be there. And they weren't even asking about the cloud, but that's what he answered. Why? Because it was meant to represent the Shekhinah, and you can't have a physical picture or manifestation of the Shekhinah. And yet, this same, yeah? I know. But he thought that particular cloud was meant to represent the Shekhinah, and you shouldn't have a physical picture of the Shekhinah. There also seems to be a certain permanence and chashivus to the Mishkan, even beyond that of the Beis HaMikdash. The Gemara Maseches Ksubis tells us that Rabbi Yossi ben Zimra got engaged, and he made a deal that he would learn in yeshiva for 12 years before getting married. Obviously, he couldn't get married first, because then he'd have to support a wife, but he'd learn for 12 years before getting married. And it was difficult for him. He didn't want to wait anymore. So he had to be matir neder, but he was embarrassed me'avua. He was embarrassed, what's his father going to say? You know, like, you can't hack it for 12 years to learn before you get married? Like, what's wrong with you? So he'd be such a disappointment. So his father said, Das kona yesh b'cha. Don't be embarrassed, because you're doing exactly what Hashem did. You're acting just like Hashem. What does that mean? Hashem told us to v'yemev siteimu b'har nachlasecha that we would have a mikdash in Eretz Yisrael b'har nachlasecha, and then vasali mikdash v'shechanti b'socham. Make a mishkan and I'll stay in the midbar. And, you know, the house will be in the midbar. Whatever the words of Nechama are in that context, the kasha is a good kasha. I mean, however you understand how he's being Menachem the child, that don't worry, it's not so terrible, he's asking a good kasha. If the goal was a mikdash, why do we have like this second-rate kind of business in the midbar? What was the Mishkan about? It didn't even have Kedushas Eretz Yisrael, let alone Kedushas. You know, how do you have Kedushas Mikdash without, you know, there are Esser Kedushas, right? So you would think you have to go through the lower levels before you get to such Kedusha. What does Hashem want with the Mishkan if the real goal was to be able to see Tehama Parnachasecha. In fact, Chazal say that while the Mikdash was destroyed, the Mishkan is Ledoros. Rashi points out, Kein Ta'asu Ledoros. Atzei Shitim Omdim, right, what's going on? Shema Tomar, Avat Sichliyam, don't think that the wooden boards of the Mishkan are no longer around, they still exist. Who cares if they still exist, the old Me'ad? We have no access to it. There's no utility to us. Why is that like a Nekuda Chashuva that Chazal have to highlight that the boards of the Mishkan still exist? Which, by the way, is also Peladic, that boards made out of wood, Atzei Shitim, would not become warped and ruined. And you ever have a wooden sukkah? Anyone ever have like an old school wooden sukkah? No? Yeah, right? What happens? It doesn't take that long. And first of all, they're a huge hassle. But aside, part of the hassle is that it like changes shape every year. Of course it's going to get warped. Of course it's going to get ruined. So when you consider the Mishkan is never going to be rebuilt, it's not like, oh, we're waiting for the Mishkan to return. No, we're waiting for the Beis HaMikdash HaShlishi. We're not waiting for the Mishkan to return. So what's the value? What's the purpose in preserving it? So the Yisod may be, I think I heard this from Rabbi Rudzinski, that it may be the answer to all of our questions in a simple Yisod of the Nefesh HaChaim, who writes that the idea of Mishkan is not a dwelling place for Hashem as much as it is a blueprint for our own lives. The Pasuk does not say Vasu Mikdash V'Shachanti B'Socha, that Hashem wants to be in the Mishkan, V'Shachanti B'Socha. Hashem doesn't need a house. He wants us to be a Merkava L'Shechina. He wants us to be. We're supposed to be the Merkava L'Shechina. We're supposed to be where the Shechina is. The Mishkan is to show us how. The Mishkan is meant to give us the proper messages, points of emphasis, what to focus on in order to develop us and build us into a Merkava L'Shechina. Now, the Maisa they told after Rav Steinman, Zichrono Levracha, was Nifter, that was one of the most unbelievable things. Rav Steinman's Tzava said, no Espedim, no good stories about me, never call me a tzaddik, and it took like 3 seconds for it to be violated all over the internet. Like, you can't blame Klal Yisrael. Like, he was who he was. We couldn't stop talking about him, but he obviously didn't want it. But one of the Maislach, they said, after he passed away, was that there was an Alter Yid who remembered, who came to Teretz Yisrael once, and he wanted to see Rav Steinman, and they said, he's tired, he's weak, he's old, whatever, don't take up his time. He said, no, I don't even need to talk to him. I just want to see him. So an Alter Yid comes in. So they asked him, what's the story? So he said, I remember in Brisk, when we were, I think he grew up in Brisk, or Steinman, he said he was in Cheder with the Brisk Rav's children. So he said, that was in that famous video, where the Minal wanted to have very very elitist policies in terms of who he accepts to the, whatever, to the kindergarten or something. And Steinman was yelling at the guy, Balgaiva, Balgaiva. He said, when I was in Brisk, I was with the shoemaker's son and with the Brisk Rav's son, and with that, we were all together in the same cheder, and no one was any worse for it. Anyway, so this guy said he remembers when Steinman was an 11-year-old boy, he was up in the Beis Medrash late into the night, and the mashkiach in the yeshiva came over to him and said, it's like 2 a.m, you're a little kid, time to go to sleep. And he said, now, Steinman looked at him and says, but I want to become a Merkava for the Shechina. So, like you'd expect. No, I'm liking it. I'm so into it now. I want to become a Merkava to the Shechina. Like, that was his goal at the age of 11. There's a book, Start With Why. You figure out what the goal is and then you spend your life getting there. Say, Rav Avadia Yosef, when he was 14 years old or 16 years old, wrote a list of the Svarim that he was planning on writing. And then he spent the rest of his life writing them. You have the goal and you do it. That was his goal. That was his mission statement. I'm going to become a Merkava L'Shechina. So this Alter Yid came to see Rav Steinman and he said, I just wanted to see what a Merkava L'Shechina looks like. That's what the Mishkan is supposed to be. The Mishkan is supposed to be a model for us in how to be a Merkava L'Shechina. If you can imagine an architect drawing up plans for a building and then never hiring a contractor to build it. So you would have a good idea of that's what building a Mishkan without following through on becoming a Merkava L'Shechina ourselves would be like. You know, if you have plans for a, let's say they find the plans for, I don't know, the original YU building, you know, the MTA building. I assume that was the original, you know, building, at least in this neighborhood. That was, I don't know, it was over 100 years old or 150 years old. I don't know how old this place is, but whatever. You know, they find the plans for that building. So it's like such a nachas to look at it. Like, look, they made these plans and look at all that went on over the centuries over there. It's amazing. But can you imagine if you find plans for this grandiose building that they live in or they hope to build, and then, and it just never comes through. Just never happened. You know, the money didn't come through. It didn't, and you just find that the plans would be depressing. You'd be like, oh, that's what we could have had. That's what we could have built. Having the actual physical Mishkan without having us becoming a Merkava L'Shechina is the plans without the building. And that's the ultimate failure. They don't bring any pride. They become a depressing reminder of what could have been if we only had the money to hire the contractor. And it seems that if you look carefully, and that's what all the Rishonim already, and certainly Achronim, go through the pieces and the components of the Mishkan to try to figure out messages for our life, which is unusual, right? To take physical items and say that somehow they're supposed to represent our attitude toward chachma, our attitude toward materialism, our attitude, and it's all there in the Mishkan. You look at the symbolism of the menorah, the mizbeach, you know, the shulchan, Torah, avodah, gemilas chasadim. That's what it's clearly supposed to represent. So it's supposed to be about us. It's not about the Mishkan. And that maybe explains the everlasting nature of the Mishkan, not in its functionality, because it was never about the functionality, not even about the specific mitzvahs performed in it, but in the ability to incorporate its messages into our lives. That has to be owned in Li'olmeyad. And the job of building the Mishkan, it's not a house for Hashem. It's to make a blueprint for our own lives so that the Hashras Hashchina can be on us. And that might be the meaning of the Medrash about Kiddushin. You know, it seems clear that the Medrash is obviously, it's a play. Which word is the Medrash focused on when it says Mikan, that a Chacham could be Mekadesh Nisha? Which word in the Pasuk? V'yichud, right? Kicha, kicha, mistayafron. Clearly, it's taking the word kicha, which is a key word for Kiddushin. So some people get married, and the entire relationship is one of living under one roof. You know, cooperation between two people with certain practical benefits, tax benefits, the ability to produce and raise children, because they just happen to be under one roof. But it's quite clear that that is not what marriage is really about, meaning those are some of the benefits of marriage, but they're not. It's not what it's really about. It's about a fused identity. It's about becoming lebasar echad. You know, that's tomorrow's daf, I think, right? Tomorrow's daf yomi. The Gemara talks about the river, the kettle, and the bird. Good book. Got to read it. Right, that there are three types of shalom. The shalom of the river. The river represents commerce between, as Rav Aaron Feldman from Neri Sol has, for those not familiar, has a book called The River, the Kettle, and the Bird, which is based, you know, the three ideas of shalom, which he explains in the introduction, are based on that line from Tomorrow's Daf, where he describes that the river is like a place of commerce between two cities. That these two cities happen to be in close proximity to each other, and that city has lots of wheat, and this city has lots of, I don't know, coffee beans. So I'll trade my coffee beans for some of your wheat, some of your wheat for some, and you know, they get along. Each one has something that the other one doesn't have, and they work together. That's a certain type of shalom. Then there's a higher level of shalom, the kettle. What does a kettle do? It contains the water that gets cooked by the fire that's underneath it. If you don't have the kettle, the water and the fire would kill each other. You know, the water would put out the fire would burn up the water. It doesn't work. It only works, each one can only do anything, can only accomplish anything with the other, with that combination. So that's also a certain maila, that's a greater maila. And then the ultimate maila is the bird. A bird is a walking animal and it's a flying animal, but the way it walks is affected by the way it flies, and the way it flies is affected by the way it walks, meaning it's one fused identity. It's one unit. And that's the ultimate in marriage, is to be a basar echad. So finding the fulfillment of the baskal that preceded each of our births, ish ploni leploni, and shalom beinehem, shechina shruya beinehem. That's what it's really all about. So when a chacham is mekadesh anisha, he's building a mishkan in that sense. He's not just living in a house with another person. He's not just figuring out how do we make life work, which is also important. Those are the lower levels of shalom. But what he's figuring out is how do we become a Merkava L'Shechina? How do we create a situation where that house becomes a Merkava L'Shechina, where we become the our version of the Rosh Tzeinim? So that's the Mikan, based on, look at the Mishkan. The Mishkan represents not just the physical part, because that's not even what it's really about. The Mishkan represents a model for us to be able to build our lives around in order to become a proper Merkava L'Shechina. Okay.